Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Let's jump straight in.
Tech Guide.
This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia.
Tech Guide.
It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect.
Tech Guide.
They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Tech Guide, episode 143. Hello and welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. And if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome aboard. My name is Stephen Fenech and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we go hands-on with the Apple Watch, the fallout of the landmark Dallas Buyers Club piracy case, and DJI unveils the latest Phantom 3 drone. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at the Elgato Thunderbolt 2 dock, the new Force Touch trackpad on the 13-inch MacBook Pro, and the Star Wars films have been released online in digital format. And we'll wrap things up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's jump straight in. Well, it's less than 2 weeks away from release. The Apple Watch, April 24, is when it officially goes on sale. But you can already go into the Apple Store and take a look at it. Get your hands on it. Try it on. This is very unusual for Apple to allow customers access to a product that is yet to be shipped. Now, there's a massive difference, of course, in the Apple Watch as compared to other products that Apple normally produces. This is the first device that is actually that Apple have created that is actually wearable. So this is a product that you're not going to tuck away in your pocket. You're not going to put it away in your bag. You are going to wear this on your wrist. So with the emphasis on the style as much as there has been on the technology, Apple are really keen for customers to literally get their hands on this product, try it on, check out all the new and varied watch band styles, as well as all the different Apple Watch models, so they can make their minds up and purchase the product. So rather than having a bottleneck of customers on April 24, Apple would prefer to stagger those out across the 2 weeks from April 10, which was last week. That was the first time customers had a chance to get in store and to see the Apple Watch up close. We were among the first to be able to do that. We got into the Apple Store in the city, and we had a chance to have a fitting, have a try-on of the Apple Watch. Now, if you haven't already been into the Apple Store, they've dedicated a fair amount of space to the Apple Watch. In the center of the store, in George Street anyway, in Sydney, they had a table with a glass top, and beneath that glass was every possible combination of Apple Watch. So all the different models, there are three models. There's Apple Watch Sport, there's Apple Watch, and Apple Watch Edition. And on top of that, there are varied watch band designs, as well as two sizes. There's one, along one side were all the 38mm models, and along the other was the 42mm. And as well in that table setup was all the varied watch band combinations, colors, so you could see at a glance all the possibilities with the Apple Watch. Now, in the try-on area, there are other tables where there was actually a watch connected to a small screen that would allow the customer to actually use to press the button, the digital crown. Use the digital crown, the contacts button, you actually scroll through the apps on the screen. And as you do that, for example, you're looking at the messaging app, the screen beside the watch changes to tell you about the messaging app and so on. So if you looked at the phone app, same deal. The activity app, the watch itself, the maps, calendar, all of them had a companion screen, information on that companion screen to tell you all about it. And as you changed the feature on the watch, so did the screen change beside the watch. So that's a good chance for customers to literally get their hands on the product and use that digital crown to zoom in and out of content, scroll through content, as well as using the touch screen as well. Now, in the try-on sessions, the phone that is placed on your wrist is it's not a dummy phone, but it's still active, but it's running a loop. So the screen changes, none of the buttons that you press actually affects that loop. So it goes through the maps, the calendar, the phone, all the major features, but it's in a loop. So you can't actually control what's on your wrist. But what you can do is try out the various watch bands, see the two different sizes, and how that's set up is the Apple employee, the Apple staff member, accesses a drawer. There are mats placed out everywhere, so that like in a proper jewelry store, when you're trying on rings or watches, they do place out a mat and sort of formally sort of give you a look at the product and place it on the mat and then put it on you to try it out. Now, Apple have done the same thing where they place the watch on the mat and then they actually fit it on your hand. They tell you to turn your hand upside down and fit the watch band and then allow you to experience what it's like to feel it on your wrist. Now, near the mat is a large drawer for the staff member to actually access all of the different types of watches. And they're set up so that they're different sizes, different screen, different watch band types. So they're all there accessible from that drawer. So you can try on not just one, but you can try on several different styles. I tried on the sports band. I tried on the leather loop with the magnetic clip. I also tried on the metal link band. Now, the link band really caught my eye. That's my preferred band, watch band. Now, as we've seen with other watch brands, whenever you've got a watch band with links in it and the watch band is too big, what you normally have to do is take it to a jeweler and they will then charge you $20, whatever it costs, to remove the links to fit it to your wrist. Now, this has been the case for watchmakers, and they've been around literally hundreds of years. Now, Apple have got their new metal link band, and typically, in an innovative spirit that Apple brings to the table here, the metal link band can actually be adjusted by the customer. Now, each metal link has a small button so that it detaches from the link next to it. It can be removed, and then you can reattach the band with the minus the links you've taken out to reduce the size so you can fit on your wrist. It literally takes just a few seconds. So Apple are already innovating in that area. They just seem the design of the Apple Watch is already very impressive. But seeing the design and the thought that's gone into the watch bands, the craftsmanship, you'd think Apple have been making watches for decades. They've only been in the game for 5 minutes, and it is very, very impressive how far they've come in a short time. The Apple Watch, really, you can only appreciate this device when you see it up close, and you can do that at the Apple Store. You can also do that at Tech Guide, where I've taken lots of photographs. I even filmed a short video of the experience and me actually with my hands on that watch. You can check that out at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide,
keeping you updated and educated.
Now, last week we saw some remarkable news coming out of the federal court where the judge decided that iiNet would be able to, were forced to hand over details of customers who allegedly downloaded the Dallas Buyers Club film illegally. Now, this case, as we said, handed down in the federal court, really was a landmark moment in the battle for content piracy, copyright issues, and has really had a huge impact here in Australia. Now, Australians have long been known as avid content pirates, not because not that I'm condoning any of this behaviour. Of course, theft is theft. If you download something illegally without paying for it, then that is theft. It is stealing. And Australians have been known to be content pirates because we have, for a long time, and still to a degree now, have always been at the end of the line when it comes to viewing new content. And the content that is stolen are usually TV programs, so the odd movie. But the reason that a lot of viewers do this is because they don't have the easy and reasonable access to the content that the rest of the world does. Now, again, I'm not condoning this behavior, but I can understand when a viewer, a big fan of a program, take Game of Thrones, for example, really wants to view that content. And the only way they could view it easily, the path of least resistance for that person is to steal it. Now, things have changed in a short time. We now do see Game of Thrones, albeit only on Foxtel. It has the fifth season has already kicked off here in Australia. And to Foxtel's credit, they did air the program at the same time as in the US. So that really does cut down that lead time. But the fact remains, you do need to be a Foxtel customer to be able to view that program. Now, a few years ago, it was possible to download that content from iTunes the day after the program. Now, what Foxtel did to strengthen their hold on this exclusive content, they actually removed that, the ability for iTunes to do that. So they fully enforced their rights and said, no, you can only view it on Foxtel, so forget being able to download it the next day on iTunes. Lo and behold, what didn't happen was a rush of people rushing to join Foxtel, but a lot of people deciding to download the episodes on the torrents, which is illegal. So it has been known, there have been surveys done to show that Australians are more than willing to pay for content if it's offered at a timely fashion, so straight away, and at a reasonable price. And as we can see now from Netflix and these other streaming, these subscription video on-demand services, that we are prepared to pay for good content and pay a price that is on par with the rest of the world. You know, we're living in a digital world where there shouldn't be any borders. A digital file in Australia is still a digital file in the US. Time differences mean nothing, because if Game of Thrones, I guarantee, was on at 3 o'clock in the morning at the same time as the US, there'd be people in Australia that would wake up at that time to watch it. So give us fair access to the content. Now, what this means for the average user here who may have illegally downloaded content, well, it probably means nothing, because the iiNet are going to appeal the decision. And you know, the people who were questioned were brought forward in this case, so the iiNet customers whose names and details are going to be forwarded. It's going to be very difficult to prove that they all actually stole the file. If tracing the file to that particular person's IP address, there's plenty of holes in it. They could argue that someone tapped into their network and then a neighbor did it. Someone sort of sat at the front. They could have claimed they had an unsecure network. So there's plenty of gray areas here where a conviction is not a lay down misere. It's not a certainty here. Now, there have been cases of what they call speculative invoicing in the US, where people who have seen to allegedly downloaded content illegally have received notices from the producers demanding either court action, so a subpoena to appear in court for a damages claim, which could range up to $200,000, or as an alternative, a compensation fee of up to $10,000. Now, this is pretty intimidating behavior. These sort of standover tactics hopefully will not be allowed here in Australia. Now, it's ironic that at the time when this Dallas Buyers Club decision was handed down, it was the same time where Australia's very own solution to the piracy problem was also sent back to the government after consideration by the internet service providers. Now, our own copyright notice scheme was set up a few months ago, was floated a few months ago. Internet service providers took a look at it. They did make some changes, But the basics of that system is going to be that it's kind of a three strikes rule, where if you're found to have downloaded content illegally, you get a letter and say, look, you know, this is what we think you've done. Here are the legal avenues to obtain that content. You receive a second letter if that continues, and the third letter within 12 months could result in court action. So you do get warnings before there's a possibility of court action and possible fines. Now, hopefully what's going to happen in this case is that the Dallas Buyers Club producers and any other producers, let's face it, this could open floodgates for other productions to come and claim what they think is theirs. Hopefully this system, which at the time, I should add, was fiercely criticized by myself included. There were aspects of it that you had to pay to appeal. There was a very limited avenue for appeals. Once you've submitted your money to appeal, there was no way of getting it back. The administrative body were all industry people, so there wasn't a cross-section of the community there. But all those have been addressed and hopefully changed. So hopefully what's going to happen if in future cases is there will be some protection for alleged content pirates here in Australia. They will get a warning. There'll be some kind of cap hopefully placed on any kind of speculative invoicing that will hopefully become illegal under this system. So I think this has really sort of sent a shockwave in Australia here. I think a lot of people are going to be thinking twice about clicking on that mouse to download that file in what they see as perhaps a victimless crime. But in this case, the Dallas Buyers Club producers were absolutely showing their faces and intentions by going after those users who they alleged downloaded their film illegally. Now, this was an Oscar-winning film that took tens of millions of dollars to produce, and probably lost tens of millions of dollars at the box office because people obtained it illegally. So a real lesson for everyone there. Hopefully sanity will prevail. Our copyright system will be sort of nutted out and shaped to be something that's a bit more civilized than what was originally proposed. Hopefully no foreign producers sending threatening letters, speculative invoicing Australian customers. So I think the lesson to be learned here, nothing is free. If it's content you're downloading, if you're getting it for nothing, it's illegal, unless it was offered for free in the first place, which if you're going to torrents, if you're going to these sites, you're going there with a purpose, and that is to get content as quickly as you can. The fact that it's that you're not paying for it obviously makes it theft. So really, we need to take a close look at it. I've sort of covered the case and written a story about what this means to the average Australian customer on techguide.com.au. Changing pace completely and taking to the air with the new DJI Phantom 3 drone. Now, they've just announced the latest model. This is a drone that outwardly looks very similar to the Phantom 2, but it does have several enhancements that we'll go through right now. Well, first of all, it's available in two versions: Professional, which shoots 4K video, and Advanced, which shoots full HD 1080p video. The model now comes with the camera. The Phantom 2 was available with or without a camera. So rather than Phantom DJI pumping up GoPro's tires and offering customers GoPro cameras to put on their drones, it does appear that the Phantom 3 will only be sold with DJI's very own camera. And their camera, by the way, is superb. Amazing quality, 4K and full HD now on the Phantom 3. Other new features is an updated app, so it allows you to stream, obviously, live video to yourself, but also to social media. So you could actually be streaming your live coverage of whatever you happen to be filming. There's also a new height sensor, so a built-in sensor, so you get a more accurate height reading, which means that potentially the Phantom 3 drone could be used indoors. There have been cases where photographers, to get a nice panning shot or a zoom in, they've actually used drones indoors. So these new sensors, which gives the Phantom 3 a little bit more knowledge of its surroundings, so it's high off the ground, little things like that. So these sensors will allow the pilots to have a bit more stable flight indoors and low to the ground, which is something photographers are doing a lot more of these days. It also has a new wider 2 kilometer range, has the advanced app as well. The app has allows you to see your position on a map on the bottom left-hand corner. The controller also is big enough now to fit a tablet. You can clip a tablet to the top of the controller. The controller itself, too, has dedicated recording buttons for the camera as well. So the Phantom 3, it'll be available within the next month. And the pricing is actually a lot better than I thought. It starts at $1,550 for the advanced model, $1,950 for the professional model. Now, the $1,950, that's a 4K camera on board, the whole kit and caboodle. I think that's really reasonably priced considering how low our dollar has become lately. So the Phantom 3 DJI from DJI coming soon, and I've written a report about all those new features and included a video at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Arlo is the only 100% wire-free HD smart home security camera from Netgear. There's no need for a power outlet near the camera either, which means there are no ugly cords that you have to, and you have the freedom to place that camera anywhere you like. Arlo security cameras have built-in night vision so you can see what's happening at any time, and they can be placed inside or out. Remember that wire-free setup, so you can place this camera where others won't go. The Arlo cameras are also weatherproof, so inside or out, rain or shine, they'll work fine. Users can enjoy amazingly sharp 720p live video and receive a notification if anything moves, it detects movement thanks to their motion detection alerts. So whether you want to check in to make sure the kids are home safe, that the baby's still sleeping, the courier's dropped off that package, or if your holiday home or small business is secure, Arlo can give you peace of mind, and all from the palm of your hand with the free Arlo app. A click or two is all you need to check in. Check out the new 100% wire-free smart home cameras from Netgear at arlo.com/AU.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett. Tech Guide.
Kicking off the reviews is a product from Elgato. Elgato have made a lot of products in the past, including TV tuners and various other accessories. And their latest is the new Thunderbolt 2 dock. Now, if you're a person who uses their laptop quite often, is the center of their life, so if you're out and about, you use your laptop, you come home to home or your office, and you want to plug that laptop into a larger monitor, then a product like the Thunderbolt 2 dock is exactly what you need. What this allows you to do is to connect that laptop when you're back at your desk to up to two monitors, to external hard drives, to other peripherals, keyboards, to audio systems, speakers, all kinds of peripherals through this product using just one cable. Now, normally you'd have to connect all to the ports of the laptop itself. You have to eject everything when you want to go. It's a whole production. But with the Thunderbolt 2 dock, that is just a one-button process, one cable connection, and with the addition of Elgato's Thunderbolt dock utility software, it's just one command to eject all of those devices so you can safely unplug your laptop and be on your way. It's obviously suits Mac or PC, and of course, if they've got Thunderbolt ports, then it will fit in nicely with the Elgato Thunderbolt 2 dock. Now, the ports on the Thunderbolt 2 dock include two Thunderbolt ports, three USB ports, including one on the front, HDMI port, and of course power, an Ethernet port as well as microphone and speaker connections as well. So plenty of connectivity there. And if you're someone who really is their laptop is the engine that drives their day, that stores all their data, that does everything that they want, you can still tap into that full potential of the laptop, but enjoy all your content or whatever you need to be doing on a larger screen, possibly even two screens. You can do that quite easily with the Elgato Thunderbolt 2 dock. Now, as handy as it is, one downside is that it's not cheap. It's priced at $339.95. But in terms of the convenience it offers, it is pretty small too. It hardly takes up any space on your desk. It's about 20 centimeters long. So in terms of footprints, it's pretty small. Price-wise, not so small, $339.95. If you want to read my full review, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Now, we reviewed the MacBook Pro, 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display, and while the computer itself doesn't look a whole lot different, if it in fact doesn't look any different to the previous model, what was different was the new Force Touch trackpad on board. Now, this is an amazing new piece of technology that Apple has introduced. Now, when you think of your trackpad, you think of it being a way to move the cursor around the screen like your mouse, but it's also where you can click and double click like we've done for years and years on end. Well, what the Force Touch trackpad allows is even more than that. So you can interact using pressure. So you can do apply more pressure to your touch. You can do things like highlighting words and bring up dictionary meanings. If you happen to be pressing into a date, it'll start an event in your calendar. If you're watching a video, you can actually press down to speed up, and then when you release, it'll slow down to normal speed. There are so many things that this new Force Touch is offering. And the amazing part of it is that the whole trackpad had to be re-engineered to offer this capability. Now, the traditional trackpad has what they call a diving board for a diving board design, so that the bottom of the trackpad is where you actually depress, you press it down, and it actually does press down like a mechanical button. Now, with the Force Touch trackpad, that does not occur. It does not move at all. You can't press down on the trackpad. Even though it feels like you're doing that, and the reason it does feel like you're clicking, you could swear that you're clicking a couple of levels down into the trackpad, but the reason it feels that way is that there's a haptic engine. That's Apple's name for their haptic feedback. It's called a taptic engine, which is Apple's term for haptic feedback. So what the feeling you get, those clicks of that you think are the trackpad depressing to a first and second level, are actually the haptic feedback from that taptic engine, giving you the impression that you have actually pressed down the trackpad, when in actual fact the trackpad hasn't moved a micron, hasn't been depressed at all. So that's really impressive technology. Force click, Force Touch trackpad. You're going to see it roll out on a number of Apple laptops, including the brand new 12-inch MacBook, which has the new Force Touch trackpad as well. There's a great editorial, by the way, in the settings too, if you're new to the Force Touch trackpad, that really helps you get your head around what it can do, how to use it properly. And this is going to be something that we're going to be hearing a lot more of. It's going to be rolled out to all of the Apple laptops in the future. You want to check it out? You can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, anybody who knows me well, even half well, knows that I'm a massive Star Wars fan, and it was with a big smile on my face that I learned that the new the Star Wars, the six Star Wars films, so Episode 1 all the way up to Episode 6, so all the way from The Phantom Menace all the way up to Return of the Jedi, they were released in digital format in high definition late last week. Now, of course, being available through iTunes and various other digital outlets really was a day long remembered, to quote a line from the films. Now, we've seen them on DVD, we've seen them on Blu-ray, but we haven't seen them in this digital downloadable format. Now, the good news for fans is that these new digital versions have all these added features, never before seen added features as well. So like new interviews and other bits and pieces, like looking inside the model shop, take a closer look at the costumes, the weapons, the matte paintings, the sounds. So there's all this rich content that's been included, along with the legacy content that was included on the Blu-ray, on the DVD, that have been around for quite a while. So there is enough new content here to satisfy even the fussiest Star Star Wars fans like myself. I thought that I'd seen every skerrick of Star Wars content there was to see, and even I've been surprised with some of the things I've managed to find on this digital movie collection. Star Wars Episode 7 is only a few months away. It's coming out in December, and what better time to relive the original saga as well as the prequel trilogy than now with this digital movie collection. Star Wars Digital Movie Collection, may the Force be with you.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Quick one on the Tech Guide Help Desk, and this is good news for Optus customers. We found that this Friday, April 17, Optus fixed home broadband customers will be able to watch Netflix unmetered. So that if you are on have an Optus cable or ADSL connection at home, you'll be able to watch Netflix without that data being counted in your daily, in your weekly, or sorry, monthly allowance. So if you've got, say, for example, 100 gig of data per month on your Optus plan, then you can watch Netflix all day long and it won't impact on that 100 gigabytes, which is great news for Netflix customers who happen to be Optus broadband customers as well. So you can go ahead and watch all the TVs and movies you want. It's not going to impact on your monthly data allowance. So a nice surprise from our friends at Optus. So if you are watching Netflix continually, then that's good news that from this Friday, that data will not be counted. And that's the end of our show for this week. You can read everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch, email us at info@techguide.com.au. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us once again. And we look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.